Welcome to Classical 95.9 WCRI's Conducting Conversations with your host, Mike Maino. 1 hour of music and conversation with notable people in the arts, bringing you the stories of how music has impacted their lives. The show will give a behind-the-scenes look at the guest's background, interests, or special project.
Conducting Conversations is brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, from sheet music and brand name instruments to rentals, repairs, lessons, and more. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.
And now here's your host, Mike Maino.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Conducting Conversations. Tonight, it is indeed a pleasure to welcome back to our beautiful studios here in downtown Exeter, Rhode Island. For those of you who haven't been here, you should check it out. It's really a spectacular place. Aaron Lager Kaplan is back again. Aaron is a guitar player and musician and all-around nice guy. Nice to see you again, Aaron.
Thank you, Mike. It's a pleasure to be back.
Nice to have you with us, and we're going to find out about all the wonderful things that have happened to you in the past. Oh, I don't know. What has been a couple of years since you've been here,
yeah,
I guess.
Yes, I think you're correct.
There you go. Now, let's talk a little bit about where you're from, first off, the Boston area, right?
I am based in Boston. I'm on faculty at the University of Massachusetts in Boston, where I teach guitar. And from Boston, I tour around the U.S. and Europe and made my Asian debut in Taiwan this last season. So, yeah, I like Boston.
It's Asian debut.
Yeah, I guess I hadn't thought about it, but yes.
Wow. Now, before that, you've played a lot through Europe and so forth, right?
Yes, quite a few times in Russia, St. Petersburg and Moscow, which was amazing. And I play regularly in Germany and Italy and Spain and a little bit in France.
Okay.
It's beautiful. It's wonderful to share the music.
Excellent. Now, I remember from last time, you're not from the New England area originally, right?
No, I was born in Oklahoma and raised in Colorado.
Where the wind comes sweeping down the plain.
Exactly. And I was raised in Denver, in the suburbs of Denver, where there's a large classical guitar community. Not really. And
I was going to say, for real? Wow.
And then when I was 16, I saw a video of Andres Segovia in a Spanish class of mine. And he was playing, and I fell in love with the guitar right there. And
when you were 16?
Yeah.
You hadn't played at that point?
I had played electric guitar.
Oh, okay.
I was a clarinet player as a child.
All right.
Then I wanted to be a rock star, which I worked hard at. But mm-hmm. I realized the music I loved, Hendrix and Led Zeppelin and classic rock, wasn't my thing for the future. Mm-hmm. And I saw this video of Segovia, and I said, whoa. And I put my pick on the ground and started finger picking on my electric guitar until I could save up enough cash to buy a classical guitar. And then I decided I wanted to go to school for music. And I went to Boston University for a year and then transferred to the New England Conservatory and thought I would move to Europe. And quickly, I actually met my wife soon after college and lived
here
in Boston.
Area?
She was living in Arlington, just north of Cambridge.
Arlington, yeah.
And we ended up staying in Boston, and I met a Russian guitar teacher and basically lived at his place for 7 years as he schooled me in the ways of the guitar. And during that time, I performed and started commissioning projects and collaborated and got jobs, and I'm still here.
Well, it's an amazing story when you consider that, you know, all the people that go to school for music, there is a very, very small handful that actually are able to make a living once they get out of school. And here you are doing that.
It's been an adventure. It's definitely had its challenges. I think learning to read music at 15, 16 years old, you know, was a challenge. Solfege. You know, I know that you have this singing background. That was,
right.
I played guitar, so I wouldn't have to sing.
See, and I sang, so I didn't have to play guitar.
There we go. And so but I think that music education, the idea of opening yourselves to new sounds, to new styles and challenges was very good for me. And I loved that. And so I just you know, put my nose to the ground and worked. Mm-hmm. And I love collaborating and sharing music.
So you have several CDs out that the last time you were here we played some excerpts from. And since then, you have a new one out.
Yes.
Let's talk a little bit about this newest CD that you have.
The newest CD is called John Cage Guitar, and it is released in November 2018, so relatively recently, by the English label Stone Records. And this is a really interesting project. It's really close to my heart. I don't compose music, but I do arrange, meaning I take music from one instrument and I put it on to another. 99% of the time, that's the guitar. Mm-hmm. And so I fell in love with the music of John Cage during college, or I should say I was introduced to his music. And at New England Conservatory, there's a pianist, Stephen Drury, who worked with John Cage. And I just really enjoyed hearing him play piano, and so we would talk. And so years later, fast forward, I remembered a conversation with him about an arrangement that he thought I should do. And so I arranged six melodies. It's a piece for violin and piano. And I took the piano part and put it on guitar. And we performed it at the Boston Conservatory, where I was on faculty at the time. And people were really moved by it. And it's nice to, as a violinist said, you don't have hammers. It's really nice. And I contacted the publisher, Peters, Edition Peters, and they published it. And to all of our surprises, or all of our minds, it was a great surprise that it sold.
Well, and, that's a good thing.
You know, in the 21st century with all this, we were all very surprised. And so they asked me to do a collection of solos, and I did. And so I took the six melodies and the collection of solos and another work and recorded all of them and put out the first disc dedicated to John Cage on the classical guitar. It's been really cool. It's outside of the box enough that classical guitar players are like, what is this? Because John Cage didn't write for guitar, so most of them don't know his music.
Right.
And most of the people who know the music of John Cage don't know the guitar. And so it's been a really...
It's an interesting marriage of combining.
And I think the greatest feedback I've had is that a lot of people, they don't... It doesn't sound like it was written for the piano, which is most of the music is piano music arranged for guitar. It sounds authentic for the guitar. I have to work hard, and there are some pieces that sit really nicely, and others I have to use effects.
Get creative.
Yes. But I just had a gentleman write to me who worked with John Cage in the 70s, and it, very touchingly, he said he thought John would be very proud of the arrangements.
Oh, well, that's very cool.
Yeah.
Well, why don't we get to a piece that people can listen to that gives that example. And this is the first cut on the CD?
Yes, this is called A Room. And it's mid-career. He's playing with rhythmic patterns. You won't hear the rhythmic patterns, but it sits very nicely on the guitar, and it's very playful, almost coquettish. And there's little bits of repetition. It would be almost called minimalist, but at the time there was no such thing as minimalist. That term hadn't come up. But it uses a very small amount of notes that repeat in various forms.
All right, here we go.
Thank you.
great music played by Aaron. And Aaron, I know that you have a website. Let's tell the people at home what that is so they can maybe follow along as they listen.
Yes, it is alcguitar.com, alcguitar.com.
Okay, and on there, there's some pictures, some information. There's your events that you're playing at. And you're a pretty busy guy, so you're not just sitting around because this is what you do.
Exactly.
People can find a place to see you, whether it's in Boston or in Lexington or in France or wherever
yes.
it's going to be.
The most of the fall season is up on the website. There are, of course, little adjustments going on, but I'm going to be making my Philadelphia debut in October. I'll be playing around Massachusetts with a wonderful singer, Matthew Hoke, baritone. In September, I will be playing at Berklee College of Music, a premiere of a piece by Donald McDonald for flute and guitar, also in October before I go to Germany, and then return. And in November, I will be playing the complete Pictures at an Exhibition on solo guitar. In Massachusetts, in Duxbury, Massachusetts, the beautiful Art Complex Museum. And it is true, it's not my full arrangement. It's based on a composer, a Japanese guitarist, who arranged it in the 80s. And I do take out notes, but I think the effect
the
of
essence,
the piece, the essence is there. And it is very hard, but it's a blast to play.
Okay.
So,
yeah. Well, cool. I hope people take the opportunity to get out and listen and watch. And let's go to a couple more pieces of music before we take our first break. What is this going to be?
I want to play two pieces called from very early John Cage. This is when he's in his early 20s, and it's from a set of piano pieces called Three Easy Pieces. And the two we're going to play are Duo and Infinite Canon.
Excellent. We'll listen to both of those and take a short break and be back with more. Jay Kaplan is here, and we're listening to his music from his latest CD. And Aaron, about how many CDs, roughly? If you have two, three?
I have four solo CDs.
Okay.
And I'm featured on four or five other CDs put out maybe by a composer or an ensemble.
And can people purchase all of them?
Yes, they are all available Amazon, iTunes.
Okay.
I think there's one with violin and guitar that is no longer physically available, but you can still download it.
All right, cool. All right. So check it out. If you like the music and you want to buy it, you can do that, or you can go to one of his concerts, check his website out, and visit him.
Yes.
And say, hey, I heard you on WCRI.
Oh, wow. And if you want an autograph, you do have to come to a concert.
Oh, you do? All right. Yeah. Okay. All right. Or a selfie, right?
Exactly. Selfies are acceptable.
Yeah, but they're probably $100 a piece. But anyway.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Let's get back to the music and talk about this CD, the John Cage guitar CD. Some people say, wait a minute. John Cage guitar doesn't work, but you've made it work.
Well, John Cage did not write for guitar, and nobody's perfect. What can we say?
I didn't write for guitar, so there you go.
You're still here. We can remedy that.
All right.
The this next piece. Well, so in John Cage's mid-career, he's very much influenced by the Far East, and the idea of resonance. Excuse me. And, you know, a piano has this thing called a pedal, and it's made with cast iron frame. And when you use one of the pedals, it lifts all of the dampers off the strings. Mm-hmm. And so he had played with it where he could play a series of notes, and all of those notes would ring over each other, and you'd have overtones, and it creates a really amazing effect that some people today have used for new age music. But at the time, it was just kind of the simplicity, very much out of the Erik Satie realm, who was a very big influence on him. So I took some of these pieces, one more called Dream and the other one called In a Landscape, and put them on the guitar. And on the guitar, you have the option of playing a scale on one string, basically, one note after another.
Right.
Or you can do campanella, which means like bells, where you play each note on a different string, and they ring over each other. And it's a really amazing effect. Mm. And it's as close to a pedal as we'll get, because we just have our hands. We don't need no pedal. Exactly. And so In a Landscape was a piece that I heard on piano and I just fell in love with. And it's originally a work for choreographer, Louise Leopold. And it's, again, using these rhythmic structures of 15 measures. You won't hear that per se. But it's a large work, one movement, but it's kind of in three sections. And it's so lyrical, and it just, for me, it's playing it live or hearing it is just this other world. And I love the piece. It's one of my favorite works.
Let's give it a listen.
Thank you.
Aaron, one of the things that I've always been interested in as a musician, do you find it better to play like a 1 minute piece and get through it, or an 8.5 minute piece, or it doesn't make any difference?
I think it depends on the context.
Okay.
Very much in the program. Mm-hmm. It's really hard to play small pieces.
Yeah.
I mean, it's almost like a small poem, trying to say a lot in a very short amount of time is a challenge. But a long piece brings out other issues of endurance and keeping the attention. So
keeping the attention is a big thing, I'm sure. That, you know, I consider that when I'm selecting music for our group, that, you know, if you're singing a 3 minute piece, the audience is kind of with you. If you get past that, we frequently find out that it's more for our own enjoyment of the chords than what the audience really wants to hear.
It can happen. I find with a cage pieces, especially like what we just heard in a landscape, mm-hmm. If it were only 3 minutes, it would be, oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
But something happens, especially live in concert. I feel it. And you've probably had this mm-hmm. experience where you can tell when the audience gives in and says, oh, okay, we'll buy into this now.
Yeah, we're with
and
you.
It that can usually 4 or 5 minutes in.
Yeah.
And then after that, it's about maintaining and kind of floating with it, depending on the piece, of course.
Sure.
I mean, Beethoven
yeah.
is a very different experience than even a Bach piece, or let alone a John Cage piece.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's get to, I know you want to play a couple more pieces
yes.
in this segment. What are they?
This is two movements from the first arrangements I did, 6 melodies for violin and guitar. I arranged the piano part for guitar. The violinist is Sharon Leventhal, who is an amazing violinist based in Boston with the Kepler Quartet. And I asked her if she would like to collaborate on this, and she did the premiere. And then, of course, I said, I want her to record it. And so she approaches this piece so beautifully. And what's really neat is John Cage says no vibrato, and says exactly where each note needs to be played, which string. And so it's very, it's quite tough, but it's fascinating. And the guitar is a color, and it, rhythmically, it's just hockets and fun all over the place.
All right. We'll listen to both of those and take a short break and be back with more.
Thank you.
Aaron Lajay Kaplan is here, and he has been enticing me with stories of playing the guitar and telling me all kinds of stories. And I feel sorry for a lot of the people at home that don't get to hear what goes on during the commercial breaks, because Aaron and I have been sharing a lot of memories about performing in different places, talking about some of the wonderful theaters I've had the chance to perform in. And Aaron, you know, there's always something special about, you mentioned the Tabor Opera House in Colorado, right?
Leadville, Colorado, yes.
Leadville.
Yeah.
Now, I don't think I've been to Leadville, so you got one on me there.
I think it's over 10,000 feet above sea level, and it's the highest opera house in the world. And Houdini performed there, and that's where I played my first public concert with my teacher at the time. I was 17.
Wow.
And then I returned there about 6 or 7 years ago. And it was just—it's just fascinating.
Yeah, it's always a treat when you're in places like that that have that special meaning, and you feel a small part of history being made, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And you've had that privilege of performing in lots of European places too. That I'm sure people there, you know, even though you may not have known it, would have the same kind of thing about some of the artists that had been there before you.
Yes, when we play a concert, it's not just notes. There's the whole energy of the experience, of the artistic visions on the walls, playing in a castle in Italy. Mm-hmm. You're playing with mosaics or paintings on walls that have heard so much music. It's actually very easy to be creative because it's such beauty. And I think that experience, no matter how good recording gets, there's nothing that can quite match a live concert experience.
Yeah, and once again, with my experience, we hear that from people all the time. I've got lots of recordings that are out there, but the live opportunity to sit down and listen and feel the music, be a part of it, that's the important thing. And speaking of feeling it and being a part of it, people will have the opportunity in New England in the next few weeks to catch you if they so desire.
Yes, I have a couple of concerts with, a baritone, Matthew Hoke, in Boston and on Cape Cod. One is to celebrate an award I received from a French arts organization called Société Académique Arts Sciences Lettres, and that's a very exciting award, and we'll be celebrating that at the Alliance Française Boston. And then we'll take the program to Cape Cod. And then in early October, I make my Philadelphia debut. I'll be performing in New Jersey. And then in Boston. And then I go to Oregon, and I'll be taking my Spanish music and dance ensemble, Con Fuego, with fire, and where we take classical music. And I have an amazing dancer-singer who choreographs flamenco dance and sings in a flamenco style to this music. So we'll be doing a couple concerts in Oregon, and then I go to Germany and come back and perform again in Massachusetts.
It's amazing when you're talking about being in Lexington and then being in Philadelphia, which, you know, that's not too far a shot. People understand that.
Yes.
But Oregon, how did that...
Well, I've been going out there for some time. Originally, my mom moved out there 20 plus years ago. And so I, you know, would go visit, and mm-hmm. then I would play a concert or get on the radio. And then over the last few years, they've been inviting me back and playing in Portland and on the coast quite a bit. And this is the first time I'll be bringing out my Spanish dance ensemble. So it's exciting. It's a beautiful part of the country. And there's, of course, love for music. And that's what matters.
Excellent. Well, we have time for one more relatively lengthy piece that we wanted to get in here. Tell us about this.
This is a new work by a composer based in Burlington, Vermont, Thomas L. Reed. And Reed is a really special composer. He's educated at the New England Conservatory, so a fellow alumni. And he's in his late 70s, I think at this point, early 80s. And we met through my new lullaby project. He wrote a lullaby for this project where I've been collecting contemporary lullabies, and he liked how I played it. And so he said, what else can I write for you? Which is, you know, that's candy for a musician. And so he wrote a string quartet with guitar, which I later performed and recorded. And then he liked the cellist, and so he wrote a duo called Concert Champêtre. And it's a piece using images of nature, and it is a single movement work for cello and guitar, and it starts very edgy and kind of almost violent, but you can almost hear it as a storm. And then this just beautiful line where the cello, which is often accompaniment, is really playing these beautiful melodies and the guitar is accompaniment. And then we go back and forth, and there's percussion on the instruments. There's tremolo, because he loves the sound of the great Spanish piece, Recuerdos de la Alhambra. And so we sat down and we figured out how we could incorporate this into the piece. And it's just been a beautiful piece. And I really love playing and collaborating, playing music of now and collaborating with composers who are reflecting on what's happening in our world and inspired by the events of our life. And so it's a pleasure to be able to share this, and I will probably be playing this live in this next season as well. So check out my website, join my mailing list or Facebook or wherever you get your information, and come to a concert. Yes, exactly.
Absolutely, come to a concert. Aaron, thanks so much for coming in tonight, sharing your music with us once again, and I hope it's not so long till we have you back again.
It's been a pleasure, Mike. It's always an adventure to speak and share music with you.
All right, let's listen to this, and then we'll see you all next time on Conducting Conversations. Thank you.
Thank you.
Conducting Conversations was brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, using music and the arts to keep your child educated, entertained, and having fun. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.